Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Face to Face Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I am bringing together a great group of people this morning to talk to you about a few different things. One of the things that we're going to be discussing today is the presidential election, as well as other things that I have in mind. I have been personally considering my run for U.S. Senate. And so I want to discuss that, throw it around, get people's thoughts on moving forward in politics after my run for Long Beach City Council. So let me just go ahead and introduce you to a couple of people that are going to join us on this conversation. Ms. Mahogany Clark. Good morning, Mahogany. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excited to be here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I am Mahogany, last name Clark. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Miami, Florida, and I'm stationed here in Fort Bragg, and I am also an author.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? Happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for everything that you do to support us.
Yes, no problem. Thank you.
You are so welcome. I want to go ahead and introduce one of my good friends, Mr. Richard Cardenas. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good. How about yourself?
I'm excited to be here. And I see your money strategy sign in the back. What is Money Strategies?
So Money Strategies is my organization. I represent an FMO, financial marketing organization, called the PHB Agency. So within that agency of 18,000 licensed agents, about 250 offices, including Puerto Rico, I was able to build an organization, and now we have agents all statewide, and you know, helping them to learn about entrepreneurship.
So PHP, what does PHP stand for?
People helping people.
Okay, so with PHP, people helping people, what is it that you want to do in the world?
You know, a little bit about me. I come from the practice firm, traditional industry of money. The Morgan Stanley's, the Merrill Lynch. I come from Mass Mutual, great company. But what I realize is that they only help, they have a certain group of individuals that they help. So if you ain't making like $250,000, they ain't helping you. And what I felt is that, well, what about everybody else? Everybody else deserves an equal opportunity. They deserve a shot to get the financial literacy. So for me, I sold out to financial literacy. And as the rate that we're growing, we have a machine that it's unstoppable now, and it's just spreading the crusade about entrepreneurship and financial literacy. So that's what I sold out to. You know, how fast can we get communities better? You know,
I think that is the question. How fast can we get communities together? I want to introduce our next guest, Shonda Block, who is going to be helping with not only what I'm doing, but we're also talking about her organization and how she's making a difference in the world. Good morning, Shonda. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I'm so excited about being here.
I'm excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about Creative Minds.
So basically, I'm trying to fix my own problem. I have been struggling with anxiety and depression since my mom died when I was 16. And I'm an only child, and so was she. So basically, I've been trying to get somebody to fix my problem of all of these issues, because since I was raised at a time, I'm obviously white, and I'm from Northeast Texas, a very rural, I hate that word, rural area, very red area. So we didn't have, I mean, it was a town of 2000, right? So we didn't have healthcare like cities and stuff like that. And so basically, I've been spending my life trying to, I want to fix that problem. I want everybody to have access to health care. So mental health as well as physical. So
one of the things that we've been talking about on the show this morning, face to face, is my consideration for politics. You know, I ran for Long Beach City Council, and now it's like, okay, let's take the next step to move forward. So I'm considering my run for Senate. What are your thoughts on that, Shonda?
This is the time to do it. If you are a Black woman, this is, if you want to be president, this is the time. Every little Black and brown girl should be running right this second.
Why do you, what makes you say that? I mean, I know the answer to the question, but what makes you say that, Shonda?
Oh, you want me to actually talk. See, most people don't want me to talk very much. So I'm used to just trying to give yes no questions because nobody cared about how I felt before. But I'm a woman and I just saw someone with my gender become VP. Or we think that she's going to be VP. So because of that, I really am feeling very invigorated. So I want to, how should I put this?
Face-to-face talk show, Shonda. I have to let you know, didn't mean to interrupt you there, but on face-to-face talk show, we ask the hard questions and we have the uncomfortable conversation. So all the politically correct, how to nice, we put all of that behind us and we have a conversation because what? Okay. Change starts with the conversation.
Okay. Well, I was raised as a rural. I just filter my speech a lot. And I also might use cannabis a little bit. So that also, because that helps me with my anxiety. So I have to, it takes me a second to kind of formulate what I want to say. Not because I'm trying to be politically correct so much, just because I want to make sure that when I speak, that you listen to me. And I hear a lot of mess right now. All I hear is just noise. And I have anxiety. I can't take it. When Trump won, I was so frustrated. And as a woman, I was horribly frustrated. And certainly I wanted my brown brothers and sisters and yellow brothers and sisters and purple brothers and sisters and green brothers and sisters. I want everybody to feel equal. Mm-hmm. And I know that I was born in 1968. And when I think of the civil rights movement, I think of some really brave people who took some crap. Mm-hmm. And for me not to try to carry that on, I mean, when John Lewis was beaten for his beliefs, oh, hell no. I am going to do what I have to do to make people understand. Because it's not so much, I don't think, as of that people don't know the truth, they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I know I have some friends that I grew up with. I'm from Mount Vernon, Texas. And my mother grew up in that town. And I know the mayor, I know the sheriff. I grew up with him. I've known him since before I was born, actually, because our parents grew up together. Mm-hmm. So it's a very incestuous, if you will, kind of situation. And I understand politics from a very small standpoint very well. But what I didn't understand until Trump became president is that I can be president too. And I don't mean that lightly. Because I didn't realize that I did not believe I could be president or mm-hmm. vice president, if you will. I would love to do that too. But I mean, I didn't realize that as a woman, even though I was white, I didn't realize I didn't have that power because no one ever told me I did. Mm-hmm. My mom was 16. I mean, I was 16 when my mom died. And I'm an only child and an only grandchild. So you want to talk about a princess? I mean, I wasn't Jewish at the time. I was Christian at the time. I was raised Christian. I'm Jewish now. But you want to talk about a Jap? I should have been a poor white Jap, right? Because my parents and my grandparents adored me. And I was trained to be so great. But unfortunately, my very progressive mother died too soon. And I did not get that maintenance that I needed. So it took me 50 plus years to realize my power, but I'm ready now. And I have been watching Fox News every second since Trump won because I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. But now I do. Of course, I don't understand, but I appreciate why. And I think that there are some people that aren't having their needs met that look like me, actually. So I think it's time to look for everybody who hasn't had their needs met. And that's why I think it's a really hot time for politics, for women of color and just women, period.
Okay, Shonda, I want to come back to you. But Mahogany, I would love your thoughts on what Shonda was saying and that how she didn't believe that someone like her, a female, could be president or vice president. Have you ever felt or had that thought yourself?
Yes, because, you know, when you especially when you're growing up and you're starting out in the world, you do notice that there are a lot more men in power versus women, because, you know, from a time ago, back in traditional times, it was just set in stone like that. The man was the more empowered person, and the woman was more, you know, feminine. She's there for comfort and other things, not to be like, not to play a powerful role, if that makes any sense. Not that she couldn't, but just because by nature, they felt like women should take on a certain role in life. So you just walk around and you see, okay, we've never had a female president, or, you know, not really too many female vice presidents at all either. So, I wouldn't say I didn't believe it, because when my generation, around my generation, things started to drastically change, of course. So I always felt like one day we would definitely have a female president. And I just think, you know, for me, I was like, well, being president has got to be stressful, because if you see Obama, he went from black hair to gray in like 8 years.
Yes, yes, yes. I know everybody jokes about that. Everybody's like, right, Obama has all this gray hair. Yes, Richard.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about women, men in politics. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think definitely, as for you going in your, like, in your run, I think it's probably the ideal time, because of it's in your favor, just because we do have a female vice president. And it's just, you know, like going back to our industry and the financial industry of money, it was always a male dominant industry. It was always a minority industry. And even like 13 years ago, when I came in the industry, I was like, I was looked at differently. And I said, man, that has to change. And now, because the old generation of the traditional financial advisors retired or they passed away, but they didn't replace themselves, we got a chance to replace ourselves. Like, for example, 80% of our company is women.
That's very interesting.
The high income earners in our company, women, wow. Multicultural, you know, so that is the new era. So I really think that just everything's open. I mean, now it's just even strong. I think women are going to move stronger. At one point, we didn't have enough women in our office. And the other day, like a week ago, I was like, wow, we're like 80-20. So it converted. And I think that they bring a lot to the plate. They bring a lot to a lot of value. So I really think that on the politics side, it's just a time to really it's open game right now, especially Kamala Harris's position will be open, so, you know, why not run for it, right?
Absolutely, why not run for it? So the conversation we're having today brought on a couple of friends to join the conversation in announcing my consideration for running for the seat of Senate. So I saw the results. I said, Sharifa, you have to get back out there. You have to get into politics. So my friend Richard is going to be joining us Wednesdays at 10 a.m. to share his views on how he helps the community. And then we have Shonda Block, who says, you know what, there's been so much wrong done in the world. And as a Jewish woman, she wants to be a part of making a difference. So I said, Shonda, you have to meet Paul. Paul Faust is my co-host of Face to Face Talk. You know what? I can't with you today, Paul. Face to Face Talk Show. Paul, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm good. Sorry. So I'm moving. So I have people in and out of the house all day, and they knocked out my entire internet connection, taking stuff out. Somebody came to take my desk chair. So I had to borrow a chair. So it's been a little crazy, but it's all exciting and fun. I'm moving to the sunny state of Florida. So a little bit crazy over the next month, but exciting.
But we have you here now, Paul.
What was that?
I said, we have you here now, and I'm just grateful to have you here, that you grabbed a chair and you are here. You know why? Because of your commitment to excellence.
I'm committed to excellence, and you are excellent, and the people who come on the show are excellent. And I was not excellent until I started getting on the show and learning more and getting myself closer to excellence.
And it's just what do you think, Paul? Paul, what do you think about Shonda's belief in righting some of the wrongs that have been done?
It depends on the wrongs.
Shonda, Paul says it depends on the wrongs.
I need to hear everybody's, I think everybody has their own interpretation of rights and wrongs. Some are absolute and others are opinion-based. So it really depends on what wrongs you see, and also potential remedies for those wrongs are also, we differ in opinion. So I'd have to know the wrongs before I tell you my comments on which ones I think need to be righted.
Shonda.
Oh, is it my turn already? Oh, okay.
It's your turn.
I was interested in his topic, so I was learning. Okay, so let's start with, well, I mean, do we have, okay, women. I apply more to women than Black women, so I'll just go with women then. So, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 52.
51. And,
okay, so I graduated in 1986 from high school. Okay, where are you from?
New York.
What part?
Westchester County.
Westchester. My ex-husband's from the Bronx. Oh my God. they just loved me. Shonda, they would say. Oh my God. Yeah. I do a love. See, I was a Christian back then. Little did I know that I would be the Jew that they would be making fun of someday. With that damn God vodka. That's vodka. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, I digress. So basically, I just kind of felt like I was a smart girl. And I mean, I graduated first in my eighth grade class and second in my high school class. Okay, so it was a small, they were not very big classes. I get that. But statistically, I should be a lot further than I am. But I just didn't set my goals high enough because I didn't see girls looking like me in the area where I lived doing the things that I now know I'm capable of. And that's where I think it was a wrong. Not that I don't think men were purposely hurting us. They were enabling, much like, I mean, just systemic racism, right? This is the same thing as systemic sexism. They're systemic everything because, I mean, I'm a nurse. I get localized versus systemic. Localized is when you look at somebody and you say, I'm coming for you because of the way you look, because of your genitalia, because of something about the way I've perceived you. But systemic is more of a slow burn, right? It's like, yeah, there's a guy and a girl that are applying for this position. She's as smart, maybe even a little smarter, but you know what? She's within birth age. So she's gonna have a child, probably. Because I heard her say that she wants to have a family. So, you know, that's going to cost the company a lot of money. So I'm going to go with him. Yeah, I'm going to go with him.
So
and that's where I lost.
Let's take that one point. So,
okay.
Well, first of all, there are certain wrongs this is my opinion. There are certain wrongs that are wrong. They're just, you know, I go out and punch you in the face. That's a wrong. Just a wrong. Right. But when we had a system growing up that there was I don't know what kind of system you want to call it, where women tended to be more in the home and housewives. It was just the way things were. I don't think anybody woke up and said, she's not good enough. It was just culturally, you know, from our early days, I think if you go back to, you know, not that I study it, but caveman days, the men hunted, the women tended to the home. So I think we've started to see changes, but let's go back to that one point. And I'll be controversial with the point. I'm a business owner. I'm interviewing two people for the same position, sales job, customer, whatever it might be. Both are in their mid-20s, you know, one, two jobs out of college. Young guy and a young girl. They're identical in terms of, and I know it's not real, but identical in terms of talent, grades, their background, et cetera, right? Everything is identical, dead even. And I know for a fact as a business owner that 25, the woman tells me, yeah, you know, I really want to start a family and have kids. And I'm not sure what my plan is after that. As a business owner, is there anything wrong with me saying, now I got two identical candidates across the board. You know what? I'm going to hire the male candidate for that. It's nothing to do with her gender. It has to do with the fact that she has told me or openly about that she is going to have kids in a few years and isn't sure what her plan is, if she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, if she wants to go back. As a business owner, if I'm going to invest in that person and all other things are even, is there something wrong with the business owner saying, I have to make the best decisions for my business, not for women's rights altogether or for Sonda? I don't think so. Now, I think if there are differences, if the woman candidate is a better candidate, stronger for my company, but I think we lump everything into racism, sexism, whatever, as opposed to maybe it's just smart business sense. And in that case, as a business owner, it would make more business sense for me to hire the male candidate. Not now, if the male candidate told me that I plan on having a family and I want to take paternity leave and I'm not so sure I want to work after that, well, now the bar's even again. But I invest a lot of money in people I hire. Someone tells me they're going to be leaving potentially. How is that sexist for me to make that business decision? I'd love to hear a response to that. You know, I love how, you know, everything's supposed to be always even, Steven.
Well, I've got answers for you. Don't worry.
But it's not always even, Steven. Yeah.
Okay. I got two words for you. Staff morale. Okay. So when I'm working for you, okay, so I'm a 25-year-old woman. I don't, well, first of all, what do you do? So I can at least know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. We have marketing and we sell things. And I can tell you that my staff morale is based on the people we have on the team and the money we make. Because with money we make, we could pay more, bigger bonuses, expand the company, make bigger investments. So I make those decisions based on company. And I would love to be able to make those decisions in any world where I choose candidates strictly on talent and I don't look at color, sex, religion, sexual orientation. And
I think that's an ideal world, Paul. I think that's an ideal world. Cause I like the example, but I think what we're doing is we're going like, this will take us the next 40 minutes to have this whole conversation on hiring. I think part of the whole idea is with Kamala Harris winning as vice president, there are so many people who said, I can do that. I can be vice president, when they may not have looked at it like that in the past. You look at Mahogany, who is in the military, right? Young, African-American, female, who people in the past might have said, you know, you can't go to the military because you're a girl.
That's more, what you're saying to me is more important. Individuals who accomplish things. Sarah Blakely, who is one of the most successful female entrepreneurs, women who you see on Shark Tank that went into engineering. It wasn't that the engineering department wouldn't take them. In many cases, it was young women just didn't go into it because it was a male-dominated field. So I think individually, we're seeing barriers broken. I think, you know, we saw one of the first female fighter pilots. We've seen, you know, female combat. I think some women went through Ranger school. Individuals can break those barriers. That doesn't always mean the systems are all racist or sexist. Sometimes it just takes somebody to step up and show other women that the engineering field is cool for women. Combat roles are cool for women. Astronaut, whatever it is, it's not always, you know, maybe there was a part of it that was the system, but all it takes is someone to say, no, I'm doing that. And I love the fact, party or no party, I love the fact that we have a female minority as a vice president, because it does tell other people, I can do anything I want. Doesn't matter my color, doesn't matter my sexual orientation. It matters if I apply myself. And look, there are going to be challenges. I'm going to have less challenges. My kids will have less challenges because we're white from a nice area. I get it. You could hang on that anchor or just fight through it like Kamala did, like Mahogany has done, like you have done, Sharifa. So I think individual responsibility plays in when we know the system is often not even. You know, we know it. So, okay, we can just fight. We have to just keep fighting through it, which obviously Kamala has, and a record number of women who've entered the Senate. You know, we're seeing it, because once the wave starts, others say, I can do this too. And guess what? it's not just women voting for them. Men are voting for them. So that's how we get change. We've always talked about it. Change starts individually. And I love seeing it.
Shonda, are you taking that? Is that a good enough answer for you? Did you just, like, it's an individual problem. It's on the individual. It's not a systematic issue. What are your thoughts, Shonda?
Oh, hell to the no. First of all, I love everybody. This is nothing personal, but people of color have hood, poor white people, we have the country, okay? And I was taught to speak a certain way, so that's why I'm gonna speak. Okay, so engineering. Now that's an interesting topic that you bring up, but guess what? I didn't even know what that was until I was 21. I was in the Air Force. It was my first job. That's when I met my first engineer. So I would totally agree with you if I had the power to do that. But guess who had the power? Men did. No one told me I could be an engineer. No one told me I could be a doctor. I didn't know them personally. And guess
what? Somebody doesn't have to tell you, like when you went to, I don't know if you went to college. When I went to college, there were engineering courses. It didn't say men only. So the fact that you didn't know doesn't always make it someone's problem. I'm saying at some point, we all have to take responsibility. There were engineering courses. By the way, I didn't know what engineering was either till college. And I chose not to take those courses because I knew it was too much math for me. But sometimes you just have to say, I chose not to take those courses. We can't always, it's not always somebody else's fault. There are times when it is. Systemic racism, which I didn't believe in until I started this show, systemic racism, and started educating myself. There are things that are people's fault. Not knowing isn't necessarily somebody's fault.
Then go back to this, Paul. So when you say not knowing, but for years, that's why there was the whole feminist movement, because the things that they were not allowed to do, that women were not allowed to do. So I don't think it was just the idea. I mean, that's why they burned their bras. It wasn't just because they wanted to take an individual class and didn't know that they could. But we're going back and forth, which is what we do on the face-to-face, while I look forward to Wednesday. But Mahogany, I don't want you and Richard to just sit there and just, watch the conversation. I want you to jump in there. Mahogany, you're in the military, which many may define as a male-dominated, male-led industry, but yet here you are.
Yes, it is considered that still to this day. But I have seen a few women that have become stars, like they have their star generals in the Army. And you only see very, very few, very, very few, but I've never had one in charge of me yet. Of course, I haven't been in long enough, but it is starting, like I said, it is starting to change. Like it's just becoming different because you see somebody else that has done it, and then you think, okay, well, yeah, like I probably can do that. And like what Paul was saying, it is true that sometimes it's not systematic, and it's not because it was males only, you know what I mean? It's just women didn't try it, or like a male didn't try it versus something that's woman only or considered woman only. You know, it's just that nobody decided, okay, I want to do that. It's about something that you want to do. Just like the woman that went to Ranger school, a lot of women don't want to cut off all their hair. A lot of women don't want to do all that vigorous activity to prove, anything, or just because they just don't want to do it. She wanted to do that. You know what I mean? And that's why she went after that. It's not necessarily like, oh, I don't think I could be vice president. It's because I didn't want to be vice president. I never thought about it, but like, of course, it makes you think about it now, like, oh, I could become something like that because you did see a woman has done this, So there's that.
Richard, do you want to jump in, Richard?
Yeah. So just with agreeing with Paul, and Shonda as well, but more of like, it's a choice. It's a choice. In our organization, we believe that you are who you hang around with, who you associate with. You are, getting the right people in front of you, getting the right help in front of you, getting the right information in front of you. Like, it's kind of like saying this, I always think about it, I'm a marathon runner. like 22 marathons in my, you know, my career. But here's the thing, growing up, and let me just say this other point before I say that, but Mahogany's era will be very different than Shauna's era.
Right.
And that's because what Paul was saying, because back in the day, that was a culture thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But we can't feed that to Mahogany, because Mahogany is in the military. She's doing a lot of things that men do. So what I see is, like, we have to be an example so we could just open it up for everybody. But to share a point, this right here was a limited belief, because I had a brain injury. Nobody, Sharifa, you don't even know that. I had a brain injury growing up. So I was very isolated. So it was even worse. It was even worse than a man or a woman. I was isolated for half of my life. So for the fact that I could, that my mom said, if you run more than 10 miles, you're going to die. Then you're going to die. So for the fact that I broke that barrier and I said, wow, that's not, I could do anything. I did that without the politics. I just put myself in front of the right people.
Right.
And now I could share it, because I believe what this country needs is leaders. Mm-hmm. We need leadership.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree with, I have so many points. Like, this is such a topic that I can talk about all day long. let me throw you a couple. I'll throw out a couple. I'm going to come to Mahogany last, because that'll be a good one. But, like, I happen to go to a lot of conferences in the legal marketing space, a lot of personal injury lawyers, and everyone's got booths and they're marketing. And it's kind of interesting to me that a lot of the funding booths where they're looking, you know, for money, or any of the vendors, they have younger women in the booth, dressed
pretty,
you know,
big boots,
company. So, you know, it's, you can't always have it both ways. If, you know, there's a lot of women who are not there, and I'm not talking about booth hired staff. I mean, people who work for the companies. But the women, and I have no problem, are using looks and the way they are to attract the buyer to the booth. That's business. Now, you can say that, and then at the same time say, oh, the sexism and it's a male dominant. Wait, you chose for that, to take that job and work that way. So, you know, we got it two ways. And I've seen it also in the younger days on Wall Street. I know, you know, I'm not saying there wasn't rampant sexism and a lot of it was disgusting. And I think that the bar has moved. But there were a lot of women I know back in the day that if they were to get a job in the working world, $50,000, they were making $175,000-$200,000 a year being an assistant in a Wall Street firm where they dressed a certain way and they got paid a lot of money. Is it sexism? Sure. Is it exploitation? Yeah, but some of them played into it. And you say, I'm not taking that job, but the money's so good. So I think it plays both ways, and you can't play victim, but also take advantage of the system. And then the last point, I wanted to get Mahogany's opinion. First of all, for me, there's one issue when it comes to women in the military in the elite tier one units, right? SEALs, Rangers, all those. One is, in my opinion, the first one is absolutely, if they can pass the same qualifications as the men, because there are certain jobs, high-end military, fire department, police, I want the highest standard. And if anyone could pass that standard, then they should have the right to that job. That's the knee jerk. But then how do you handle the, because you've heard people say this, well, Mahogany can handle the selection process for the Rangers. She can get a tab, or Navy SEAL unit, she can handle it. But, and this goes against sexism, racism, does it change the dynamic of a unit if it was, you know, I don't know how many served because I'm not in the military, 8 SEALs in a unit and now it's 7 and a female. Is the fight different? Is the camaraderie different? Is the, you know, can we get past the fact that they still see you as a woman? And I don't know the right answer. I do believe that it needs to be the highest standard, and anyone who passed it should have the right to that job. But what happens if it affects the integrity of that unit, that department, whatever? I don't know the answer to that question, because I'm not in those, you know, I'm in the fire service, and I can tell you that I have women in my fire department, and there's none of them that I wouldn't do every single job with than I would with the men, because I train with them and they are just as, you know, we all train the same way. We all work together And I would not.
I'm different, Paul. And I know you're a firefighter, but I've said for years that one of the things that I am, that's why I love this conversation and Shonda for joining us and bringing it up, is that I'm very sexist. And I can tell you right now, right, wrong, or indifferent, if I was on the third, fourth, fifth floor of a burning building and they sent a woman up to me, I would say, go back down, send me a man. That's what makes me.
Time out.
Seriously, I'm being honest.
No, that's just because you want to meet a cute firefighter.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'd be like, go, go. I set the building on fire for a reason. Like, I don't want you. But I let Mahogany answer. Like,
oh. You know, this is, Mahogany can answer, but this is the age old look. I think there are women that could do the exact same work.
I don't want her carrying me, Paul. You're missing the point. Like, I want to come down and that, you know what I mean? Like, that I've been rescued.
Okay, so let's get the movie. There are absolutely women in the military that can hang to the physical standards.
I don't want them.
The question is, if it changes the dynamic of the unit, does that trump the, you know, sexism?
Okay. Okay. Mahogany.
I mean, to me, I believe obviously if they passed, you know, which, and some of them, if they do pass, they probably passed at a higher standard than some males. So it's like, to me, if they did make it even past that point, because it's one thing to try out and it's one thing to actually make it, you know? So if you made it, I really don't see why there's any doubt of the dynamic or anything like that, because you've done exactly what the others have done and probably better, you know, or probably to the same level. So to me, I think it changes the tradition of the unit. That's what I believe. It changes the view. Now it's more like, wow, okay, you know, now, okay, we have a woman, but she's no different from us because she actually carries qualities and value that can help the team just as well as the next male trying out. Right. And it's different to see it from a female. It's like, oh wow, that's dope. You know, that's pretty cool. Like a woman, you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, well, let's see for another woman. Well, let's see what happens. You know what I mean? But
no, I like agree.
Versus like, okay, let's say if it gets overbalanced, like more women and then not many men, you know what I mean? Which is less likely to happen, but it does make it different.
Right, but that's what's happening with Richard right now, because I was curious with Richard. He said that initially you weren't able to get enough women. You didn't have any women. And now you're on the 80-20. Do you see a specific reason why it made that change?
I think that just like what Mahogany said, she said a key point. She says we're changing tradition. And that's where it's coming down, that traditions, what it was traditional is not traditional, is new era. So right now there's a lot of women out there that want an opportunity, that want to win for their families too, just the same way as men want to win for their families. And as a matter of fact, with this new era, now it's two incomes. Before you just needed one income. So now you need two income because of inflation and taxation being so high, right? So she said, I just like that keyword, tradition. We're changing the tradition. And I think individuals they're having a hard time getting used to that change. And that's really what
that's
this
pretty
is.
Much it.
Yeah, because here, I'll give you an example. If Paul said this, he goes, if you pass with the standard, you might've passed with the higher standard, then you earned the right.
Right.
If I ran a marathon, then I should have the right. I always kind of use it through sports, my athletic side. But I don't know if you guys saw the social media. We just had the first Ironman Down Syndrome.
Yes. He's gonna open it up.
But that's the thing, Chris Nunez. He's gonna open it up to a whole different. Now he's gonna open a different world because it's a possibility.
Richard, I agree with you. And traditions have to change. Traditions in some of the military units or fire departments. People would make sexist jokes. They would hang pictures in locker rooms, and you might not be. So things have to change. But it's okay to recognize that we could be different,
100%.
but equal. And
but we're not.
I want to emphasize, and here's a problem that I see is like, if if 10,000 people tried out, or 500 people tried out for, a 100 jobs, right? 500 people audition or try for the job, and the 100 best by everyone's metric, let's not debate, the 100 best for those positions were white men. Just make it up. For that job, whatever it is, then the question is, should they get the job? Or do we have to balance it out where the best don't get in because we want to balance? And I don't know the perfect answer. I wish I knew it, but hey, look, I know that's an absolute and it's not true, but I'm just saying in the absolute world, I tried out 500 people, I've got 100 jobs. And the top scoring across every metric, I'll go the other way, were 100 Black women. Is it okay that they have the 100 jobs? There's no Hispanics, there's no men, there's no this. That's where we run into problems. Where is it best versus balance? And I don't know the answer.
But I think the change starts with a conversation, which is what we do here. And with that example, especially when you take the 100 white men, and why I'm so passionate about politics and passionate about the community and passionate about making a change in the world, is because you can, and when I say you, Paul, I'm speaking to general you, but you can look at it and say everything was equal. But a lot of times it wasn't equal, because you have to calculate and factor in so many different variables, including their, you know, how they were raised and brought up and what they had access to. Because I've mentioned it before on the show, Anderson Cooper is one of those people who says, you know, I didn't want people to know who my mother was because I wanted things to be fair. And, you know, this whole story he gives. But Anderson Cooper was still born and raised into a certain family that had access to a certain amount of things that he would never have had access to had he not been the son of such a famous, wealthy person. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I 100% agree with you. When it comes to politics, the military, fire service, police, but in the private sector, as a business owner, entrepreneur, now I might look at the hiring and say, well, the 100 best in terms of every metric was this category. However, I'm not taking the 100 best because I realize in the longer picture, I need access to other markets. I want the female market. I want the Hispanic market. I want the Black market. I want the gay, lesbian, whatever. That it's not always the best candidate on paper, because right, there's more than paper. We are more than the sum of our paper. I just don't know if legislators or laws should be made to stop a business owner from hiring the best. I don't know the answer. I think it's an individual decision, and there's a difference between racism, sexism, bigotry, and all that versus business decisions. That's all I'm saying.
No, I get it. But I think, Paul, you keep bringing it back to business decisions. I think the topic in general is the conversation about, and what face-to-face was created for, is how do we make America better? How do we make the world better? Not just our businesses. Shonda, I would love your thoughts on the conversation.
Okay, I have lots of thoughts.
We see.
So Salim.
Okay, I have so many notes, it's not even funny. Okay, so.
No, that means you need to get to come back.
Pardon?
Means you get to come back if you have a lot of notes.
Oh, I'm loving this moment. My brain is just firing off like a wild, crazy circus. Okay, so how much time do we have?
About 5 minutes.
Okay, emotional intelligence. That's what we need. Because I don't know if I told you, but actually I trained as a bioethicist at one point. I was trying to be, I went to graduate school, but found out sadly that my anxiety, which I didn't know I had, was causing me to not be able to go to school. But when I was training at it, what really hurt me is that I was older than most of my instructors, and they didn't respect me. And that's because they were emotionally unintelligent. I was more intelligent emotionally than they were, but they wouldn't accept my being something that they weren't, because they didn't, I didn't have a PhD. I just had a master's degree, and I wasn't up to their standards. Right. So we have to look at people where they're coming from, not from what's a piece of paper, not from what, I mean, we also have to feel we've got to use our hearts as well as our heads, because a piece of paper is not going to tell us the right answer.
Right. It's funny how she says emotionally intelligence too. That was another reason why I don't know, like just having a conversation or, you know, doing the research, that was one main reason that a lot of men back in the day, or the way the world was set up, felt like women couldn't be empowered because of the emotional side of things. They felt like it's easier to, you know, mold a man into being less emotional and making more logical, headstrong decisions than it would be a woman, you know, who might have a balance, or she might be a little bit too emotional, or, you know, something like that. So that played a major part.
I agree with you, Mahogany, because I've said that for years. I've said I didn't want a woman president, because you catch a woman on a bad day and she blowing up Russia. You know what I mean? It's like we're very moody people. You know what I mean? We calm down. I'm like, whoa, what did I just do?
I think that with this new era that we lack emotional intelligence because of this.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like the people having an intellectual conversation, and like that's what, you know, when these things came out, you know, people walk like this now, and it's social intelligence, right? And but I think
I like that. But I think I'm taking that.
If we look at what the room is right now on the Zoom, it's multicultural, and I think that's the key word. Is equality, multicultural opportunities. And if that person wants it, they have the right to go do it. If this person wants it, no matter what color, what size, what background, what education. But I do agree with Paul, because as a business owner, I look at, well, is that person going to be an athlete?
We lost you.
I don't know how or why.
Let me jump. I'll jump in until he's back. So,
well, don't jump in, Paul, because I want to say hi to Salim, because we only have a couple of minutes. Yeah. Salim, I saw you there for a minute. Now I have you on mute. So, Salim, are you with us? I want to give you a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're sideways.
We're going to look at you sideways.
He is.
Ace Ventura, when everybody just turns like that.
Yes.
Doing this today. I don't know why, but hello everybody.
Hello Salim. We were just talking because the whole we went kind of, you know how we do it, you're here every week with us. I'm so glad you joined us today. You know how we are on Face to Face. I started with one topic, which was specifically the whole election, and we were talking about Kamala Harris and how that opens up doors. Everybody's like, oh, the Black women, all the women, you know, now can see themselves as vice president or president. And then we just kind of went into discussing women and men in general. So you just piped in, but whatever your thoughts, we'd love to hear from you.
I would just say that perception is one of the big things that people utilize. So, you know, if a kid looks up and says that he's orange, if he looks up the word orange in the dictionary, he's going to conceal with the word orange. So when you see a person like Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton, those guys like that, it starts to give you a little bit of support inside. It starts to make you feel like you can actually do something. I don't know. I think right now we all need something like that. We need some type of like support. I mean, I know a lot of truth is coming out. I know a lot of insecurities are coming out. Things are bleeding out like that. But right now we need something to kind of ground us. And I'm not saying that the Democrats are going to do it, because I don't believe in politics. I believe in the Constitution.
Amen, brother.
But we need something at this time, because there's too much fighting. Because what Trump did, Trump exposed a lot of stuff that a lot of people did not want to see. We thought that we were further in America than we actually are, and we wasn't. And now I see people collectively saying that, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to try to do something different. But is it the right choice? Is getting inside these political machines the correct thing to do? Or do we need to press the reset button? Which I'm in form of pressing a reset button, because no matter what you see of a woman, you're going to treat the person as a label. So when most times people look at woman, they look at somebody inferior, somebody less strong, somebody less intelligent, blah, 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 blah. And we treat them as that. So I think we need to push the reset button.
You said that several times, not to cut you off. That's who I am and what I do. You keep saying the reset button. And I'm looking for this reset button. Like, where is this button? What is this reset button?
I think we just hit it.
We did?
I think in one regard, we hit it. And I don't care. Look, I am a registered Republican. Okay. That's how I'm registered, because of certain issues, socially democratic, fiscally conservative. But I think in this election, it had much less to do with party and more to do with a reset for the country. We were in a right, wrong, indifferent. I'm not arguing policy right now. I'll talk about that all day and which ones I agree and disagree with. The country needed a reset. So maybe this isn't the full reset, but electing a different party, a different tone, a different way of communicating, regardless of policy, I think I'm starting to see, I saw the air hop out of the balloon of a lot of people. And I know that there's extremists on both sides and people are holding out, but I've seen people who have been just relax their shoulders a bit and breathe and have started communicating with people that they've been fighting with. And again, I always say it, what about this show? We have Jewish, not Jewish, black, white, male, female, every religion. And we're just talking. Nobody's hating anybody. No, and we don't all agree. Sean and I don't agree with everything, but we're talking. So the point is, and I posted on my Facebook page, it has nothing to do with politicians and who you vote for. It has to do with us as people. Politicians, presidents are not going to bring us together. We are going to bring ourselves together. But I do believe we needed that reset. We needed a pause button from the direction we were on. And I'm seeing
from the trajectory. Like that, a pause from the trajectory?
Yeah, we were on just, now, whether you want to blame Trump, not, I don't care. We were
on. No, I'm not talking about blame. I'm talking about
right. It's not about blame. We were on a path that needed changing. And I think that you don't see many elections where people are truly crying and dancing in the streets. That tells us something. And I think that maybe that wasn't the full reset, but it was the start of the reset. At least I hope so. And so anyone that doesn't wish Joe Biden to be the best president we've ever had shouldn't be, he's the president. I want him to be the best president ever, regardless.
Salim, was your thoughts on the reset?
This is not a reset. This is politics returning back to normal.
Okay.
A real reset is when you don't have to use a label, when you can just say, I'm a human being. You don't have to say you're a male. You don't have to say you're a woman. You don't have to say you're a Muslim, Christian, or anything like that. That's your a real labels. America's reset is, hey, we did a lot of foul stuff in the past. Mainly it was Europeans, which they don't want to hear it. And they need to take responsibility up for it. That's the reset. Because the playing field has to be level. Biden is a segregationist. Kamala Harris is a prosecuting attorney. There are snakes of the same tree. You think they're really going to do anything for equality? That's like me asking Woodrow Wilson, what do you think of Black people? What do you think of people with color? What do you think of people like that? No, it's not. Can't do that with the same things. It has to be a real reset.
Real reset. Yes, I love it. I love it. My whole thing is this. We got to get face-to-face talk show going 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Get here early, have this conversation, because this is a conversation that we are going to have to continue on next week's episode of Face-to-Face Talk Show. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Richard.
Yeah, sure. So one of the things is, it was brought up earlier by Shonda, and I think that one of the main points for me today to give to the audience is belief in a belief system. You could believe in anything you want to be. You know, we live in a capitalism country, you know, realize the power, realize that you have power, you are a person of influence. But the biggest thing is realizing that you do have a voice. And I think that's what Paul was talking about, Salim was talking about, like, Salim, I agree with you. Yeah, we need a real reset, right? That there's no tags, there's no labels. It's just, I'm a human being and I have rights. And I, if I choose to work at McDonald's, I choose to work there. But if I choose to become a CEO and make millions of dollars, that is my prerogative too, because I have that choice. So yes. I think for a lot of people is realizing the power that you have, and you have a choice, and it's on you to make that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we're going to see Richard back here on Wednesday from PHP Agency. We're making the world a better place. Mahogany, what do you have for us? We have 4 minutes left of the show.
Yes, I just like to say, well, as you can see, I'm literally probably the youngest person on this conversation out of everyone here.
Voice, because we're talking to different generations, so I appreciate you being here.
We first started the conversation, I was like, ooh, am I going to be able to keep up, you know, because it was like politics and other stuff, so I was overwhelmed, but did just fine. And yes, just as you said, you need every voice here. So what I would like everyone to take from the conversation is, just because you're different, or just because you have a different view, or you come from a different time, does not mean that you mean, like, you're words mean anything less than the others, or your views mean anything less than the others' views. So,
yeah, thank you for that. Hope to see you again, Mahogany. Because after a while, people become regular. Salim, what do you have for us?
I just want to tell the American public and the worldwide public is, remember what it is that you like to do. Remember what it is that you like to feel. Remember what it is of the things that you like hearing, and do that to other people. There's an old saying, is to find the person that's least profound and least warranted of your good behavior, and that's the person you should give it to. My name is Salim Amir Bey. You can find me out anywhere online. I always try to do a help. I'm a nice chef, I'm studying law. Any help, my email is right here in the panelist. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, and hope to see you next week at 10 o'clock. Shonda.
Okay, so I have two things. With the gentleman that Celine, when you were saying that this is going to be politics as usual, I'm going to disagree with you on that very strongly, because of one thing. When RBG died, and I am a huge fan of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and of how she changed people, a little bitty tiny Jewish woman. When John Roberts gave her eulogy, he cried. And I, for a Supreme Court justice who sees something very different than her to cry, he changed her. I mean, she changed him. And we change each other. And that's why I have hope, because just the fact that we are talking today has changed me, and I'm assuming my being brought into this has changed the dynamic a little bit, hopefully it has. And the other thing is, I'm an only child, so I try to treat everybody the way I like to be treated, not because God told me so or whatever, but because it makes me feel good, because I feel better when I treat people with respect and kindness. So that's me.
I love it. Hope to see you next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Shonda, you've been a pleasant addition.
I'm never pleasant.
No, I like to have, you know, this is what Paul and I do. Paul, we got a minute left. What do you have for us?
There's only one thing I can end the show with. My honor and respect to Mahogany on this Veterans Day for your service, for allowing people like me and Sharifa to just hop on and do shows, because we have people like you that are protecting us. But there's nothing else to say except you have my heartfelt respect, and please send my love to the people you serve with. You are what we should be all about.
Yes, absolutely. I want to thank you all for being on this week's episode of Face to Face Talk Show. Again, I hope you decide to return, because we're going to continue this conversation. And Salim popped in He's brought up some excellent points that I would love to talk about. Unfortunately, we just do not have the time right now. So if you're watching this show, please come back next week, because I'm going to talk more about running for Senate and actually starting this campaign, which I'm very passionate about. Shonda's helping me with that as well. So please tune into the show. And as we say always, please don't just watch the show. Join us in the conversation on Face-to-Face Talk Show. If you want to be a guest, please visit the website at asksharifah.com. Until next week, everyone have a safe and a blessed week. Bye now.
Bye.